Welcome to Shenanigans. This is Aisha.
Hello, hello, it's Bria.
Hi, it's Brittany.
Hey, y'all, it's Jenny.
Hey, hey, it's Tyra.
And we are a dose of melanin empowerment that is a reminder of how bomb you are and how dope you can be, featuring edutainment about beauty, life, and health, mixed with a true depiction of how strong she can be. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Shenanigans. Thanks for coming back again. We definitely appreciate all of our listeners. Just a few housekeeping things before we get started. If you haven't reviewed us on iTunes, please do so. It really helps our ratings as a podcast, and we appreciate that. Also, if you're on SoundCloud, feel free to comment to us because we love to have conversations with you there, and on Twitter at Shenanigans_pod. Last week's episode, we chatted about a lot of fun things. So you definitely should go back and check that episode out. I can tell you that our hot topic for the week last week was based around moving on and when's the right time to move on from everything from careers to relationships to friendships, a lot of different things. So definitely go back and listen to that. But we are going to dive into this week's episode, and we're going to go to Tyra first.
Hey, everybody. So it's time for our comments from our listeners, and we got a lot of tweets. So I just wanted to share some of our tweets
with you all. I'm excited for these.
Yeah, they're really good. So at Charnay Pickett says, I've been binge listening to Shenanigans Pod all day, and I love it. I'm almost caught up. And then Keisha Marie _ tweeted us twice, and she said, episode 5 has taken me from smiles and laughs to being in my feels and reevaluating my life. And then she tweeted me and she said, and I swear Banks like Tyron are the same person. She's telling my life. Hashtag Shenanigans Pod. And it's a gif of Solange and Janelle Monae like doing some handshake. It's really cute. And then we have a tweet from Summertime Shy. And she said, Shenanigans Pod got me through my shift tonight. Love the versatility and topics. Good stuff. At Vine Me Up said, I can't listen to y'all at work because I am cackling. I have to continue when I am in the car. By the way, what's your Snapchat handle? And our Snapchat is at Strength of She. So you want to make sure that you become our friend on there. And then at Miss Yari _ hey, Kenyari, said that Jenny mentioned The Alchemist today on Shenanigans Pod, my favorite book, definitely a must read. And she was listening to the hot topic from when we were talking about cheaters. And it's a Beyonce, like, with a surprise face. Very cute. And then we have a guy. So at PeanutMan87 said, hey, shout out to AOL and Black Planet, ASL, going down in the DMs before there was DM.
Going down in the DMs.
And lastly, one of my friends, Trinae, she tweeted us. And she said that she had just started listening to us yesterday, but she is hooked and she's going to keep listening and keep subscribing. So make sure you keep tweeting us at Shenanigans_pod or at Strength of She, and make sure you use that hashtag ShenanigansPod. And you can also review us on iTunes and on SoundCloud.
Y'all, who knew we were binge worthy? Like, that's kind of got me geeked.
Binge worthy. Well, thanks, Tyra. We are going to head into the Brie game.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
I know it's your favorite part of the day. Okay, so everyone has to clear their minds and get ready for this.
Oh, no.
I'm calling this segment The Blast from the Past. So what you have to do is lay your phone on the table so I know y'all ain't cheating. Then you have to go into your photos and scroll all the way up to the top. And then you're going to swipe over 5 times and you're going to look at that picture and tell me what that picture was about. So what was happening? Obviously, it's from your past because it's all the way up at the top of your photo album. And you're going to tell me what was happening, where you were at. Is it a picture of your kid, your dog? You know, somebody sent you a scandalous picture.
Lord,
we're going to just call you out.
It's
So you said go all the way up to the top.
So you're going to open your photo album. Brittany, why are you holding your phone? It's supposed to be on the table.
Oh.
Hit the top. Hit the clock at the top of your phone. It'll take you all the way up to the top.
Oh, snap.
I know. I'm teaching y'all something new.
Oh, thank you. It's wholesome.
Okay, and then you're going to pick your fifth picture because that's one of my favorite numbers. Yes. You know, number five.
Oh, snap!
So.
This is a good one.
Okay. Jenny, I'm going to make you go first.
Okay. So my picture is from Lexi's birthday, like a couple years ago. It's with me, my friend Sage, Chevy, and Lexi.
So what were y'all doing? Where were you going?
We were posing. Like
drunk. How you posing?
No, I mean, we were just like posing. Like, we weren't drunk yet. We were about to head out. I have no idea.
She said we weren't.
It was a couple years ago. I think to the club downtown somewhere.
Jenny's is boring. She trying to. We know you did some X-rated really that night, Jenny.
I'm really serious. It was like 2-3 years ago.
That's the fun part. You're supposed to reminisce.
Shit, I don't remember.
Brittany,
you making me go next? Okay, y'all. This is actually a funny one. I didn't know this was my fifth picture on here. Okay, so this, I'm not in this picture, but three of my best friends are, they might be listening, Brandy, Simone, and Tutu, and this was June 5th of 2011. Y'all, this was a long time ago. So I was 20 years old. This was when Ice Lounge was
open. Lounge.
And I was not old enough to get in there. So me and my best friend Brady were 20 and we had fake IDs. And we slid on in there and it was for my friend's birthday, Styx. We were celebrating her birthday. It was her 21st birthday. And I don't believe I got drunk, but I know Simone was wasted. And yeah, that was a pretty cool night. I think it actually was my first time. You know, that sounds bad, but that was my first time using a fake ID to get into a club. So I did it multiple times. Don't judge me. I know y'all did. That's pretty much what I remember from that night. It was fun. I can't remember anything like really bad happening. You know, I probably danced on a couple dudes, you know. I was single at the time, so, you know, I wasn't in a relationship. But yeah, that's pretty much what that was. So yeah, I'm a little embarrassed to say that.
I want to see the picture. I haven't even seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I wasn't in it. That sucks. But
you could even tell the camera quality is so different.
That was so long ago.
Oh, ooh, iPhones have come up. Yes. Aisha's over here shaking her head. You going next then.
That's fine. It's extra boring. I can tell you that. I'm not even kidding. My fifth picture is
a body butter bar.
My picture is a picture of African black soap. I kid you not.
Oh my God, it sounds like you.
Wait, I took it in October 2015. So the story behind this picture was the strength that she had just started in July. And we were trying to do more product reviews. And I was like, oh, let me go ahead and take this little picture. I'm going to write a blog, review Shea Moisture. Because, you know, they retweet us every now and again. Never did it. It's not there. Don't go look for the blog. I never wrote it. So that's what this was.
It was a nice picture. But, yeah, I took a couple. It was like the first couple pictures was products.
Yep. No blogs.
Now people are about to be requesting this blog from you. You're going to have to go back and finish what you started.
We'll see.
Ty, you're going to wrap us up.
Wait, no, you got to tell your picture.
Oh.
She didn't think she was playing.
I don't ever participate.
Yo, you need to. You participate. Don't be trying to slide today.
Now you're just lying.
Don't slide today. You got a fifth picture, but I'll go while you're trying to pull your picture up. Mine is a picture, right? Yeah, watch
it. I delete my pictures on my phone.
I do too. I'm good for deleting. But this picture is a picture of me in Miami with my cousin. Well, it's just me in the picture. She's taking the picture. And I'm like holding a branch. I don't know. I think I'm modeling or something. But we took like this boat trip to, it's called Flagler Monument Island. And we did like different stuff on the boat. It was like a party boat. So you drink at a bar on it. And then we stopped somewhere. And we like, you could jump off the boat into the water. There's like a trampoline on the water. We kayaked and did all types of crazy stuff. It was super fun. So, and we got to see like different people's houses. Like we got to see Shaq's house. Ooh. And Carmen Electra's house. And it was pretty fun. Cool. And I am sucking my stomach in hard.
That's all right.
Harder than a mug.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Girl.
Right.
Do it too.
That's real life. It's about to be me all summer.
Me too.
I'm glad one pieces are coming back in style.
I'm high waist everything.
And all summer. I gotta get everything high waisted. You ain't gonna tell me nothing.
One pieces are coming back in style. I'm gonna be
cute though. They got some cute ones.
Like three or four, like today.
They got
three
or four ones.
One pieces.
Oh yeah, they do have a lot of those now.
Extra
large. Yes, forever.
I went in that store with my nieces like last week, and I said, "Why is all these damn onesies in here? Is this the new?" I'm calling it a onesie because that's what the hell it looked like to me. So they have a whole bunch of. So if y'all want some one pieces, go to Forever.
They have some cute ones.
They do. There's some cute ones.
Since y'all are making me go, mine's kind of boring. I delete all my pictures, so mine's from January of this year. And
no evidence. Boo, she don't want. I don't want her to go anymore.
It's really because I need to make room in my phone, so I always just upload my pictures to my laptop
from Apple.
You know, I don't know.
It's 99 cents.
Apple is trying to take all my money. No, but it's with me and my cousins. It was one of my cousins' birthdays. I was in Columbus, Ohio, and actually, me and my cousins call each other sister cousins because I never had sisters, so it's funny that we use sister friends because we've always called each other sister cousins, but it was one of my cousins, like, 27th, like, some random birthday, and she got super wasted and, like, rented out this little bar, and she ended up by the end of the night doing this, like, jump split and going into a split on the ground, but it failed because she nailed her head.
Oh my gosh.
But she hopped right back up, y'all. Like, you don't understand. So then the DJ felt so bad for us because she just hopped back up and kept doing it that he bought us drinks the rest of the night. So it was kind of...
She kept doing it?
Yeah. Yes. She wanted to recover and redeem herself. So she did it again. And girl, she would just pop in and lock in. And yes, girl. So, you know, I can't do that anymore. But she was killing it that night. So it was a fun night in Columbus with my fam.
Don't stop. You can still do that.
I'm not flexible anymore.
You just did it like a year ago.
I flipped, not split. I'm done with y'all. I hate you. You can take back over.
So, the hot topic for today is being the token Black person. Or even... For real, Tyra.
Sorry. Tyra might hit her up on the low. Sorry.
She's going to play music.
What are you doing over there?
I can't
there?
Even redeem myself.
Looking at a nasty video.
No, I wasn't. I clicked on Facebook, and the video was still playing, and I couldn't click out of it fast enough.
I'm like, don't it scare you every time? Like, oh.
Don't scare you. Whoa, the shit out of you. Woo! Sorry.
Oh my gosh, like I was trying to say, we're going to talk about being the token Black person or the only Black person. And I know that we've all kind of been there in different circumstances, whether you went to a predominantly Caucasian school when you were growing up or lived, you know, in a predominantly Caucasian neighborhood, or it was a mixed neighborhood and you still were the only one. That tends to be a little different too. Or even at work. You know, at school, at your internships, like, there are a lot of different situations where we can be that only one. And I just kind of want us to have some free chat about how we dealt with those situations, or was there anything that came up? So first, let's start with how you dealt with those situations. Like, how did they make you feel, per se?
I've been in a few situations where I was like the only black person there. And well, I would say it started like when I was in like elementary school. I was like the only black person in my class. And I mean, then, you know, like you're innocent, you're a little kid, you don't really pay it, you know, any mind. But there's been a lot of situations like at work where I was like the only black person. I've never felt like uncomfortable. But it kind of sometimes I have felt like an outcast. And so I don't, like, I've tried to kind of like blend in. And even though, you know, I'm in the room full of people that look different than me, I try to relate to them in a way.
Yeah, so this has been my whole life, so I love this topic. I was born and raised in gymnastics, so of course I was one of the only black girls at that time before the Simone Biles and the Gabby Douglases blew up. So, I mean, just combating that and trying to be someone different in a different sport that you weren't actually recognized in was really hard. And then being in a private school and then an all-white high school, and then, I mean, Butler is a PWI to the max, so love it, but it definitely is. So I was definitely used to that. And one of my biggest pet peeves is just feeling like you have to be the spokesperson for your whole entire community, mm-hmm. because a lot of people will always say, oh, you know, you don't even act black or you don't seem black, and don't realize that that's an insult. So identifying me as Bria was a big part of wanting to, as I was growing up, was a big part, because people were always like, well, I don't identify you as black, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, well, I am black, but that shouldn't be the first thing you see. Like, it should be my personality, X, Y, and Z. So I definitely think it was hard, but it became so common that it wasn't a big deal. So it was actually kind of funny. One of my good friends in college, she was a white girl, and I brought her back home and went to church and took her to church with me. And she was like, oh, are there going to be white people there? And I was just like, oh, yeah, of course. And I took her, and I mean, my church is, what, 95% black? And she was like, wait, you said there was going to be white people here. Why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, well, do you ever notice I'm the only black person in our class every day, and you don't ever think about that? So I feel like sometimes you have to constantly be teaching people things, and I don't think that should be the case. Like, they don't have to teach me about their culture every day when they go to work or go to school. So I think that's been the hardest thing about being in the community that we're in currently.
Kind of going back to what you were saying, Bree, I feel like I kind of have to defend myself in a way. Like, just because I'm a black person, you know, like, what you're asking me, you know, I may not know. Like, you're asking me stuff, and I'm like, well, shit, I'm black, but how am I supposed to know? You know, right. I may not. You know, I don't eat chicken and watermelon.
Oh, not chicken no. and watermelon.
I get Jenny. Oh,
Lord. Somebody get her ass.
She really don't eat chicken. Now. So.
I don't eat watermelon either.
No, I mean, I do, but I'm just using it as an example. Like, there would be situations where, like, they would ask me things just because it's, like, a stereotype of black people, and I'm just like, well, I don't know. But I feel like, you know, being in those situations, like, I kind of have to defend myself and defend who I am, like, just because I'm black. Like, you know, I might not be, like, the average black person or whatever, like, you, like, whatever people assume a black person would be or act like.
Right, or if you, like, speak with poise. They're like, oh, you're so educated. Can a black person not be educated? Mm-hmm. Do I have to speak ratchet? Do I have to be on Love and Hip Hop to be black? Like, I'm confused. So that's my other biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, one thing that pisses me off a lot is when I have black people who tell me that, like, oh, well, you don't act black, or, you know, or whatever the case may be, or you might talk white. And I'm just like, well, what does that even look like?
Yeah.
Brittany.
What you gotta say, Brittany?
Oh, black people. Talking about, you don't act black. What does that mean? Like, that's what irritates me.
You can't act the color.
Thank you. Like, that's that irritates me, because just like, I feel like this is somewhat kind of getting off topic, but just like what she mentioned about stereotypes, like, it's irritating when people feel like all black people are supposed to act a certain way. Like, that's irritating. And then, like you said, like, with us dealing with, you know, with us being, you know, black and, you know, in a situation where you are the token black person, it is kind of, like, it's like uncomfortable in some situations. So for me personally, it's funny because I actually asked my husband and one of my good friends this question like a month ago, because I can't say that I've really experienced a lot of those kinds of situations where I felt like I was the token black person. I grew up in the ghetto, basically. So I grew up in IPS. I went to IPS all through elementary. IPS is Indianapolis Public Schools, for those of you who don't know. But I went there for elementary, middle school, and ninth grade. And I went to township from 10th to 12th grade, and which was Lawrence Township. So that's where I kind of got a feel, because that school was predominantly white. So that I wasn't used to that. So it was a little different, but then I found my set of black friends that I always hung out with. So to me, it still didn't really feel like I was in that situation. But I had asked my husband and my friend, I was like, do you feel, and this is actually a question for you all too, I don't know if you might feel like this or not, but I feel like that I don't experience a lot of that because of my skin color. Because I'm lighter. And I don't know if that really does have anything to do with it or not, but I did ask, because I asked, well, my husband is darker skin, and my friend, I asked Dinesha, she's darker skin too, and I said, do y'all feel like maybe I don't experience a lot of that because of that I'm lighter? And some people probably, I mean, I'm sure most white people know I'm black, but mm-hmm. it's just kind of like they're probably, I feel like they wouldn't treat me the same way as they would treat a darker skin mm-hmm. black person.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. Do you all feel like maybe that could be it? Because, you know, I hear people say, I experienced this, this racism, situation somewhere. And I'll be like, I hardly ever experienced that. And I'm thankful, because I don't know how I would react in a situation like that. And I, but it's just like, I never knew. I was like, maybe that's why I don't experience it as much. So I don't have a whole lot to say about that. I mean, as far as I just feel like I haven't experienced it a lot. So I don't have a whole lot to say about it.
I think that's a good point to bring up, because I know that a lot of people talk about that on social, within our race and then outside of our race, how people may be treated differently because of their skin tone, or maybe they have a different hair texture that really lets people know you black.
Right. And that's why I'm like, I know people know I'm black, especially when I wear my natural hair. But I've never, really experienced anything like that, though. Or ever, I can't say that I've really been in situations where I've even felt uncomfortable, really. I mean, I think like you said, you kind of just have that that instinct, when you are, say, you're around a whole lot of, Caucasian people, and you're like about the only black person, token black person. But I just don't experience it that much. Yeah. Can't say that I have.
I think, well, first of all, colorism is very real, especially on both sides of the spectrum. I know that light-skinned people, people of lighter complexion have their prejudices against them, as well as dark-skinned people, obviously. So I think that's definitely real. And it's something that I'd never really experienced because my color is pretty much in the middle.
Right.
So I don't catch, a lot of flack from black people or white people because of my color, because, I'm right there in the middle. But I've definitely been the token in several situations, and more so as an adult, because all through school it was pretty mixed. And then I was in a lot of accelerated classes, so there was white people in them, but I didn't pay it any mind because I could still meet up with my friends or whatever. But it really was it really stood out to me when I was in nursing school, because I was one of the only black people in my nursing class of 80 to 90, and it was just a shock to me because I was not expecting that, which I also find very interesting, because I didn't get in the first time, and when I applied I had a 3.8 GPA, and there's no way that you can't tell me my race had something to do with it, especially when I come in and there's nobody who looks like me, and nobody would eat lunch with me, nobody really talked to me, I didn't really have friends or whatever. But because I was older, I just pushed through. I knew I worked way too hard to get into nursing school to let that affect me, but of course you're gonna feel some type of way about it. And then with my current job, I was the only black nurse. We just recently got another black nurse, but I was the only black nurse. And it's so weird because everyone around me was either a tech, or they were ancillary staff. So they were cleaning up the rooms and stuff like that. And that just was just a shell shock to me, and it was great because none of those people looked down on me. None of the other black people, they were cheering me on. And I love that. But I don't know. It's just like you feel, even if nobody says anything to you about your color, you just feel like
you do.
The first 6 months I pretty much was like on my own, and I had to create a mantra for myself, like, you know, which I've said before, I earned my spot. I'm just as good, if not better, than the people that I work with, you know. But it definitely, I feel like I have to be on my P's and Q's, because there's a lot of things that other people may be able to get away with that I know that I couldn't. So I know that I have to be mindful, because I definitely feel like all eyes are on me a lot of times. So
like Bria, I went to Butler, and I remember going to Butler and just being in complete culture shock. Like, coming from Gary, Indiana, where our schools are like 98% black, and, you know, having basically all black friends, maybe one or two white friends, and, you know, coworkers that, because I did waitress at that time, were who were white or Hispanic or whatever, but it was just like total shock, because Butler is like, I forgot the new number, but it's like 3%, 5% black. And it just really, it was an outer body experience to deal with that, because it made me feel like I wasn't supposed to be there. Because it's like places back home and like Midwest Indiana, like Northwest Indiana, where you just don't go because it's not enough for you. And if something happens to you, like, that's your fault, because you shouldn't have went over there. Like, that's how I felt when I first got there. And like Bria said, being in classes and they call on you because they're asking something about black race, or they're asking something about something that's going on in our culture or the news. And it's like, I don't want to answer that. I don't know. And Butler was actually my first place where I've ever experienced racism before. And it was with my suite mate. She was racist, and she, quote unquote, didn't even know it. And it was to the point that I ended up finding out that her grandmother owned a plantation. And she made a joke about it. That was the only way I knew. And we were just, me and her been kicking it. We've been cool all up until that night. And she was like, yeah, you know, my grandmother, she owned a plantation. And I went down there because she was receiving an award, and a black man brought her her award and kissed her on the cheek. And she was like, oh, that black man, none of his color wiped off on me. And she just bust out rolling. And I'm like, did I miss the joke? I was in shock that she said it, first of all. And then was in shock that she laughed. And I honestly couldn't respond right then, because I didn't even know where to start, what to say. And especially because she kept talking after that.
Like, she just kept on talking.
Like, she just
through.
Like, this is regular language
right,
for her.
Right, language. Yeah. Yes. And I ended up coming back and talking to her later about it. And she didn't see anything of it. And we had a lot of different conversations where, you know, she made comments about people with locks and, you know, why would people lock their hair? That's nasty. It's dirty. And I said, well, when you see white people that do that, their hair isn't meant to do that. I said, so of course what you see is going to be different from what I see. And it, I really was trying to teach her, while my mom, on the other hand, is cussing me out because she's like, you need to whoop her ass. And
right.
I'm like, mom, I can't whoop her ass. Like, I'll get kicked out of school. Like, I don't think you understand. And I ended up taking her to a Black Student Union event when we had BSU week, and we were watching a movie about stereotypes. And I took her and my other sweet mate. And when I tell you, they sunk in their seats, because she was that uncomfortable, because it was so many things that she had said to me in that movie, and it just made her so uncomfortable. And she had got into it with Jasmine, my roommate at the time, and, you know, they had, she, Jasmine, you know, she ate her up. She cussed her out. Jasmine don't do the whole I'm gonna teach you thing. And she went up to Jasmine afterwards like, I'm just so sorry. I'm sorry. Like, I really didn't know. Jasmine said, you know, fuck that. I don't care. So that was my first time experiencing racism, but it was, it just, then it became more noticeable.
Right.
It's like, after it happens, it's like, okay, am I paranoid? Or has all this been going on and maybe I just wasn't clued into it?
So that was really your first time, not until college?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I grew up with nothing.
I mean,
black people.
No, yeah,
I did too.
Yeah. Racial microaggressions are weird. They're real. And it's like, you cannot explain them. And it's so frustrating being a black professional, because, you know, I know that what I'm experiencing is not right, but there's no way to me to explain it to you. There's no way for me to go to HR about it, because it's just a real thing. And speaking of lies, box. I am so tired of watching people asking me about my hair. I am like, it is so annoying. Like, I don't feel like I have, like, I need to educate you. Why do you care? Because I don't ask you about your white hair, because personally I don't care. Like, why do you care?
Exactly. They care because their hair can't do that.
No, I don't know why though, but they're very interested.
They are.
They are.
Like, well, go read or something.
Right, right.
Like, don't ask me.
My supervisor's always like, can you do that to my hair? Like, I wish my hair was that versatile. I wish it could get volume. I wish it, like, it's almost like a jealousy.
I hear that all the time.
It's like they take the big booties, they want to take the hair, girl. What you talking
about?
No. Yes. No, you can't have the hair.
You cannot, like, because I don't feel like going through all, because then what irritates me is that they keep calling it braids.
Oh.
And I have to keep, I have to keep explaining to them these are not braids.
Okay. My God. But this is a real life question. So do you think white people act like super ignorant, or do you think they really know when people have weaves in? Because I am so tired to work when people are like, did you cut your hair? You know I had fake hair. God, play it.
No. Say that. People be like, oh, your hair grew. I'm like, are you serious?
But do they really
for vacation and come back with a mouth? You know that these were fake. Like,
but do they really be serious is the question. Well, I'll be thinking the same thing, because I'm like, no, you know good damn well.
Are you trying to play
this
with
not
me?
My hair.
Or like,
girl.
No, but this gets me heated, y'all. We shouldn't even have this topic. Because have y'all seen Dear White People?
Yes.
That movie summarizes my whole life. I'm just like, so we had the same thing with BSU when we brought some of my white friends to BSU, and they were like, I'm so sorry. Like, don't hug me, girl. Just change your act. Like,
just get it right. Because that legit almost made me leave. Like Butler, like,
yeah,
I almost left. And I know Whitney Murphy listens to us too, and she was one of the people that talked me out of leaving Butler. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I was like, I'm transferring. It was like my second semester. I was like, I don't think I can do this, y'all, especially since it was between Butler and Howard. Mm-hmm. Two polar opposites.
Oh, right.
And yeah. I'm like, okay, maybe Howard will go ahead and accept me.
Right.
Like, you're stupid.
No, but to your point, like, honestly, I want to hear you all's opinion, because I really do think it's a blessing and a curse to be that token black person, because I feel like you don't always have to shut it on and off, because I feel like now I'm bringing my full self to work. But, you know, sometimes you really feel like you have to play the game. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to know the game. So I feel like because I grew up with it, it was a little bit of a blessing. I'm like, thank you, Mom and Dad, for providing me with that. Like, I would have loved to go to a Howard. But I see some of my people that, my friends that went to Howard and are coming to my job. And it's very hard for them to transition. Yeah. They don't understand that. You can't just speak your mind to your ball. Like, hold up. You can talk to them, you know, in a well-mannered way. But you can't just go off, and you can't just decline meetings from people. So I definitely think it is a blessing and a curse, and I want to know if you all feel like you have to turn your personalities off when you're around certain people, or do you feel like you can bring your full self to work, or,
no.
or what?
No.
You took
definitely not
no.
in my job.
My mouth.
Yes.
I was just
heck no.
No. Hell no.
I can't be myself.
Now, y'all know I can't be myself at my damn job. I have to turn into a whole nother person when I get into my workplace. I just sit to myself. I think people in my job think I'm mean. And it's just because I literally I go to work and do my job and go home. Like, I don't try to converse with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think people think that, oh, she's a mean black girl. But I mean, I really don't even say much to a lot of people. Like, you know, I'll be cordial. I'm not going to be rude whatsoever. Like, I know how to talk to people and, you know, all like that. But no, like, the girls in here know how I really am on everyday life. I could not act like that at my job. So yes, I do feel like I do have to come into work with not a whole different persona, because I know that, no, maybe it is. Because, I mean, because it's weird, because you do feel like you have to, you can't, you know, be your full self, you know, in that position. I mean, I don't know how you all feel at your jobs, but I know for me personally, I mean, I know that to a certain extent I can be myself, but then let's be real, like, I do have white supervisors and white managers, so you can't, you know, you have to be a little more professional, you know. I mean, I just feel like, like you were mentioning, I know you said, like, where you grew up at, you know, when they come to your job, you know, they, like, they can't transition. It's just hard for people to transition. And I can't say, it's not hard for me, but, like, yes, for a lot of black people, they feel like that they can just speak their mind to their boss and cuss them out when they feel like they got a bad, you know, and all that crazy stuff. Like, you can't do that. And, you know, they feel like, oh, they can't tell me what to do, and you know, I'm not gonna do this and that. But okay, now you ain't got no job. Now you looking stupid. So yeah, you just have you because I mean, it just kills me, y'all. Like, I just be seeing random stuff on my Facebook, and I'm like, y'all just dumb. Like, y'all don't know how to just be quiet, just come do your job, go home. Like, but yeah, no, I do feel like I can't be my full self though when I go to work.
And I think it's just like a battle of, am I being my real self or am I being my professional
self?
So, and why can't they be the same
thing? Exactly, that's like, my thing.
Because it's, I feel like, you know, I shouldn't have to cover myself for anybody. I shouldn't have to code switch. But at the same time, you do. Like, it just sucks. It's just like such a sucky place to be in because I'm going to be, like, I work with kids, so of course I'm going to be bubbly. I'm a nurse. Like, we have to be social. And my coworkers are very cool. Like, I've never had a situation where I felt like my coworkers, you know, isolated me. But at the same time, I can't be my complete black self because you're just not going to understand.
Right.
I can make a lot of references to a lot of things.
You're not going
to
know what I'm talking about. So
what I'm talking about. So let me tell y'all. At my last job, we did this test, me and a couple other black people. And we asked all the white people, what does eat the cake anime means? And nobody knew what it meant.
Yes.
Because what happened was people kept saying bye Felicia and they didn't know what it meant.
Yes. No. So, the damn bye Felicia shirt.
Yes.
I'm like, why this white girl got on this back?
And don't know
shirt?
What it means.
And exactly. Don't even know who she was.
No.
So I showed them the clip and then we were like, no, we about to get them with this eat the cake anime thing. And people did not know what that was. So I just feel like I can't make references. I can't talk about songs or music or just
but they
anything.
Expect us to know all of their
right.
Genres.
Oh, you don't know who that band is? I don't listen to bands.
Let me tell you, so now that I've been there for since the summer and you know more of my personality develops, I would straight up say, y'all know I don't know who that is.
Yeah, me too.
I might expand my horizons, but are you gonna do the same?
It's funny because there are a lot of songs that they know that I'm surprised that they know, and one day they caught me singing Britney Spears with them. So but I love Britney, but it's just funny to me, like, you're just not gonna get what I'm talking about or any of my references. So
now I have another question.
Oh, damn.
No, I
thought this was Aisha's segment.
It is, but I just need to know.
We can share.
So y'all know, okay, do y'all think that there's a token, like, white person? So, like, you know the girl that has that Cash Me Outside? How about that?
No, she's white.
So how do y'all feel about that? So people trying to, back to the appropriation, the black culture a little bit. How do y'all feel about the Cash Me Outside girl?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I feel like people have to stop associating the word ghetto with black. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, if you do your research, ghetto didn't come from black people at all. So you have to really do your research on where that came from. And second of all, you have to stop putting negative connotations to black people. Mm-hmm. Ghetto is not black. There are ghetto white people or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say. So she is not...
Just hit a nerve.
So no, she is not white. I mean, she's not black. You know, she's not one of ours. The white people can
one
take
of ours.
The white people can take her.
One of ours.
She's not us. Nope.
No, you struck a nerve because when I used to waitress in high school, one of my coworkers, and she was white. She was talking about, she didn't know that a girl who was at one of my tables was my friend. Like, we used to be friends. Like, we grew up together. And, you know, like I said, I'm from the G. And, you know, she was a little bit more on the ratchet side. And that's whatever. I love them, too. So she was a little bit more on the ratchet side. She had a whole bunch of kids. The kids were throwing food. I didn't care. I've literally known her since we were eight. Like, she was like, girl, just give me a broom. Like, I'll wipe it. Like, whatever.
Right.
Like, I'll take care of it. And I'm like, whatever, you're fine. And so she's like, can you just believe that ghetto mess at your table? And I was like, what?
Oh, no, she sounded just like her.
Oh, what did you say? And she's like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. Girl, you know that there's white trash too. That does not make a difference. Just because you can acknowledge white trash, that don't mean to come talk about black folks to me. Like, I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
Like, that does not make up for it. And I'm sure that just got all off topic, but you
No, because it's like, you cannot attach acting ratchet or acting out to black people. Like, that is really
right.
That is annoying.
Yes. Like, and I'm like, she's not ghetto. She has two little kids that are little kids.
They're gonna
throw food.
Yes, they're gonna be
they
kids
food
and toddlers
on the floor. Like,
yes, that's what
I
they
bet
do.
You a white family comes in, that kid does the same thing.
The
You're
and they
don't,
no, they do
ghetto.
It worse. They do it worse. They show
and they
do.
Not gonna
don't
ask,
play.
They're not gonna offer to clean up.
Hell
like
no.
She did. They're
gonna be like, nah, that's your job.
And not tip.
Right.
Boo.
Please.
Y'all got me. Wow. Boom.
I know.
I was
really gonna ask about, can you be your full self?
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Nope.
No.
You know, how do you feel? Especially about your hair. Especially when I was going through that little transition period. And I had a Wiz Khalifa patch. That was just a really
so,
interesting stage.
True life story. When I was in nursing school.
Somehow my hair is always blonde and red at the same time, all the time. So when I was in nursing school, right before I got in nursing school, I cut all my hair off. I was going natural. And I dyed it because I'm like, there's nothing else for me to do with it. Like, I'm just going to put some color in it. Y'all, do y'all know they called me into the office and asked me, was something wrong with me because I dyed my hair? I will not bullshit y'all. They asked.
What office?
At nursing school was getting to you.
Yes. When I was in nursing school, black lady, and she was a sore, came, dragged me into her office. She was also very sketch, so. Mm. Yeah. But.
Shout out to them sketch ones.
Ooh, yeah, real sisterly. Yeah, she asked me, was something going on with me because I dyed my hair? And I'm like, no, if you know me, I do this shit all the time. Like, wow. This is normal for me. What are you talking about?
I
is something
my
wrong
hair, like,
with me?
Three times senior year. Somebody should have definitely been checking me.
So what did that mean? Just because you changed
I was
your
going
hair
through
that you was
something.
Going through some
exactly.
shit?
Exactly.
Is that what white people do?
They do.
They cut their hair off.
Okay, well.
Watch 13 Reasons Why, girl.
Don't associate.
Don't tell me nothing.
I just watched it. I finished it yesterday.
No.
I'm not telling you.
Don't tell me nothing.
Cuckoo.
I don't understand.
Man, why they do you like that, Ty?
Girl, I don't know. It don't matter. It don't even matter. Girl, I'm like, oh, if you knew me, I dye my hair all the time.
Oh my gosh.
I think for me, I feel like in a way I'm able to be myself at work, and I think I got really lucky with the people I work with, and just like our whole team, because we're more like a family. And I mean, there's black, white people or whatever. And also, I think it has a lot to do with the population that we work at. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have to meet them where they're at. Not saying we're going to go in there acting crazy, but you don't want to go in there acting too professional.
Right.
You know, talking to
they
a teenager,
won't talk to you.
They're not going to connect with you.
Yeah.
So I think it has a lot to do with type of profession that you're in. And sometimes it's hard for me because it's like going into, like, this is my job. So it's hard for me to be my complete self. But I think the people I work with make me feel okay that I can at times.
yeah that does help. I will say on my last note personally, but I'll say that growing up I was always kind of a little bit more different, especially because I went to a performing arts school and we were always known as like the different kids or the uppity kids, although we weren't. Like, we just knew how to act. We were about our grades, so we get kicked out of school, you know, get kicked out of our programs, blah, blah, blah. I listened to Evanescence and all those other groups.
Yeah.
And my sister, she, on the flip side, my sister's like, I don't know who the hell that was. She listened to Bone Thugs and Harmony, and that was about it.
Boom, 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 boom.
But see, certain people that don't grow up like that don't understand that you can have both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And that can be a part of you. And kind of going back to, like, what we were first talking about, like, that doesn't mean that you're acting anyway. You're being yourself. Mm-hmm. But I think that if we all can just be more comfortable in being ourselves and not worry about what people are thinking about, correct them along the way if you want to, cuss them out along the way if you need to, And just move on. Yeah. Anything else on this topic, ladies? It's a pretty heated, diverse discussion.
I'm worn out.
Episode done.
Real life.
Okay, well, if you want to chime in on this hot topic, you definitely know how. Hit us up on Twitter at shenanigans_pod. Comment to us on SoundCloud and definitely share this episode with your friends so they can chime in too. So now we are getting ready for girl talk. I cannot agree tonight. You're crazy. Okay, so starting off girl talk with Tyra.
All right, y'all. So for this week's segment of What's Love Got to Do With It, we are going to talk about the three loves theory. And it is said that we only fall in love with three people in our lifetime. And I'm going to tell you who those three people are.
I think I might know this, but I want to hear. All right. No, I probably don't. I'm just talking.
All right. So the first love, it happens when we are young. We are in high school. It's naive. It's very impractical. It mimics what we see in movies and music videos because we are too young to even understand the concept of love. So we plan a future with this person because in our minds, we think that this person is going to be who we're going to be with for the rest of our lives. They are our high school sweetheart. We're going to have our kids with them. Whoa. We done named the kids. And with this one, how others view us is more important than how we feel. So this is especially this day and age with, like, you know, kids in high school and social media. So they will post about even the smallest little thing. Every little detail, because they need people to see that it is magical and perfect. Y'all know who your first love was? You ain't got to say a name.
I do.
I talk about them.
It's very unfortunate.
Very.
You stuck around for too long. Sorry, I'm chewing on these cheeses.
I still don't know if I've had mine. Ooh.
This is like
every time.
Oh my God.
I know mine was.
I do too.
Mine ain't nothing to talk about.
Mine's a combination of two people, but I don't really think I love them. It just was two people I was in high school with. One, y'all literally just got out of my life like last year. My God. Like, and the other one, if I told him we should try again, he would drop everything. Oh, for sure. Nah, I'm not about that life. All right.
That young man is back home selling drugs.
That
young
man. See.
And I have no space. Obviously no space. But if I wasn't married, I wouldn't have had no space for that either. He's a hot mess.
Okay. Our second love. This is the hard love. This is the one that teaches us a lot of lessons.
Yes. Oh, I had that one too.
What we want from relationships. This is not the happiest of loves because it hurts. And even though doesn't hurt, this brings us a lot of pain because it could be full of lies. It could be full of deceit, manipulation.
Disappointment.
Oh, it's unbalanced. It's unhealthy. Very selfish, nasty. Narcissistic. And the biggest thing is that it is cyclic. So it's a cycle. Yes. We keep going back and forth. Yeah. We keep going back and forth with this person, making the same decisions over and over, expecting different results. Because at a point in time, we feel like trying to save it is more important than figuring out if it is even worth saving. This one comes with a lot of drama, but a lot of passion. And it's because we enjoy the extreme highs of it, like the really good moments and the extreme lows. We are addicted to the emotional roller coaster of it. And every time that we try to save it, it just ends up getting worse, like over and over again. So it sounds like y'all know exactly who this second love is.
Yes, it was so stressful too.
The shy depressed.
No, it can depress me even thinking about it.
I mean, it's draining.
It was very draining. I mean, it literally is. Everything you just described is exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a never-ending cycle of disappointment and broken promises and, oh, shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and only ifs and blah, blah, blah. And then you get those only if chances, and then nothing happened, and you did the same thing.
Yeah. Girl, I know. I feel like this second love portion is just a stage in my life. It's not a specific person. It's just a couple years in my 20s or just revolved a couple of people. Or it just sucks because sometimes it is very passionate, but it's like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? And a specific person is in my head, and I just feel like loving them was killing me. Like, why did I do this to myself? Mm-hmm. Like, it is crazy. But y'all, this third love, though.
Oh, no.
And by the way, I didn't make this up. I was reading a bunch of articles. But I feel like this really applies to my life. Okay. So this third love, I feel like the married people may agree with this one. This one is the one we do not see coming. This person is...
Damn.
Woo! All right. This person is different from anyone that you have dated in the past. Show and me. It is...
I can't stand you. Jenny!
It's probably somebody that you never imagined yourself dating. But you and this person have a connection that y'all just cannot explain. And it just comes so easily. Y'all just fit really, really well together. You complement each other's personalities. There's like no real pressure or no like just pressure to really be together. It just works. There's no ideal expectations about how the other should be acting. You don't have like a real huge desire to advertise every little detail of your relationship because you're just too busy living in it. Like, you're just too busy loving that person. You don't need that social media validation because they are just the shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm married to that now.
You married your third love?
Oh, I definitely did. He was not somebody I saw coming. Like, literally, I mentioned this before, but I had just got out of a situationship, and I was like, F niggas. I ain't care about dudes at all. And here he come, and I'm like, hold on. I was trying to be mad at dudes, and here you just come out of nowhere.
That's the thing. They like, said it
literally just, right. What do I tell you to come and do that?
They said the third love comes right after a breakup.
Yeah.
Woo.
Hello. I'm right
you,
after.
Like, no. Literally. Two, I mean, I wasn't week, even in a relationship, but, you know, it was like that. A whatever. But, yeah, it was literally, I was like, F it. I, whatever. Literally less than a month later, he came. I said, wait a minute. And I had just seen him for my 21st birthday, the month before he hit me up. And I was like, maybe that was a sign from the Lord and didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen him in forever. And I was just like, okay, wait a minute.
Jenny
is over here cutting up. The hell?
Yeah, what's wrong? Okay.
Tell me what's on your mind. Wait,
come on.
Well, I mean, the fact that you just mentioned that this person comes like right after a breakup.
No, for real. For like, real.
I mean, even though that this person, like, we're not really on them terms, but he came right after the break. It's just, wow.
No, for real, because...
I mean, just wow.
Well, a lot of people don't know how I met my current bae, and I won't give all of the details, but they were in the same vicinity, like...
See.
Like, literally in the same vicinity, so... Yeah.
It just happens.
It just, like, it for literally real, you don't see it coming.
You don't.
That's what I heard.
I'm like, whoa, what the hell is going on here? I wasn't ready. I'm not even lying, y'all. I wasn't ready.
I was like, yeah, nah, I don't think we should be together yet. Like, we're going to have to cool. Like, what's happening? We're together? Oh, wait, what's happening? Okay.
Well, it's funny because when I was reading, especially the third love part, I was cracking up because I know Aisha Nick, and I know, like, you know, their whole love story. And I was like, yep, she is going to agree with this one for sure.
Real life. Tyra was there the whole time.
Yep.
The whole time. She was there when I finally said, okay, we're together. And I came back in the house. I was like, I got a boyfriend. And they said, we got a boyfriend. I was like, yeah. And these heifers put on, she's your queen.
Y'all are annoying.
We have been there for a big part. Aisha and Nick's relationship. I don't know how he puts up with this personally.
He loves y'all. That's why.
We're a little crazy.
That is crazy.
So, yeah, keep your third eye open for that third love, Bria and Jenny.
Because, one day.
Because,
oh, that's me and Jenny, huh?
It sounds like Jenny might be ahead of you, bro.
Right.
Right. Jenny might know him.
He just slide in my DMs, please.
If you are looking for your third love and you like
but you
educated,
you won't see it coming.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah,
yeah. Educated chocolate women, get at Bria
who keep they selves on fleek.
Fleek. I'm looking at her eyebrows.
Chocolate women. Yes.
Yeah, if that's their preference.
If that's their preference.
The guys.
The
guys. Not women.
You.
What the hell is wrong with Bria?
To my DM, I said, oh, okay. No, I'm trying something new. I guess.
I can't stand y'all.
Oh my god.
Oh, all right, y'all are crazy.
Okay, that's it.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Syra. Definitely, you know, keep an eye out for your third love. If you're on your second love, you might want to move on a little faster. Mm-hmm. So, next, we have Jenny.
Hey, y'all. So on this week's The Beauty Prescription, I want to talk about why sleep is important for your beauty. I feel like when it comes to sleep, sleep is the answer to pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. If you're working out, you need to make sure you get enough sleep. If you want to look, if you want to make sure that your beauty, if you want to look good, you got to get sleep. You know, if you're not feeling well, you got to get sleep. So it's so important that you get sleep, just because when you're sleeping, your body pretty much repairs itself overnight from any damages that may have happened to it during the day. And so it's good if you get, on average, about 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night, which that is recommended. And if you're not getting that much sleep, if you're having poor sleep, it can lead to increased stress hormones that can increase the severity of inflammatory skin conditions such as acne or even psoriasis. The lack of sleep can also lead to the lack of just your natural beauty. When those inflammatory cells are increased, they break down the molecules that your skin gives your skin that natural glow that you generally have. For me, I notice when I'm not getting enough sleep just because I get dark circles. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, oh, well, your skin's so nice, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I know when I'm not getting enough sleep. People might not notice it, but I notice it.
whoa, first
Brittany.
Of all, Brittany is caressing your face nowhere.
You can't touch her like that.
I sit next to Jen and I always look at her face. I'm like, her skin's so fucking smooth. I just be one to just rub it.
I can't.
How smooth it was. You got nice skin.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
Wait, damn, where was I?
No, it's okay.
Okay, so for me, if I'm not getting enough sleep, I definitely notice that I have dark circles. So another thing is, if you're being deprived of sleep, it can also cause a decrease in your blood flow to your skin. So just make sure that you're getting enough sleep. I can't stress how important that is.
Are you sure?
Girl.
And so some
get on off me. Y'all know I get 5 hours of sleep every night. And keep on trucking. If that.
I know I used to struggle with getting a lot of sleep just because I always felt like, you know, I had to keep going until I finished whatever I was working on. And so I had started just saying, hey, I need to get sleep, so I'm going to sleep at a certain time. So some ways that you can get more sleep is by just not staying up on your phone when you're in bed. I struggle with that mm-hmm. just because I feel like, you know, I'm going throughout the day and I don't really have time to like be on social media or whatever I'm doing. So I'm guilty of like staying up all night on my phone, even like while I'm in bed when I should be sleeping. Also use any type of like bedtime app. So I didn't realize this until I don't know how I stumbled across it. But I have an iPhone, and on the clock app or the clock icon, there's different, different little icons at the bottom. And one of them is a bedtime, and you can actually set it where it's like it'll give you an alarm or what time you should go to bed. So if you're wanting to get so many hours, so just say I want to get 7 hours of sleep. You use it. I like it. And it'll tell you, like, it tells me at 9:30 I need to start getting prepared to sleep. So I usually give myself an hour to get ready and things like that for bed. Which, I mean, you know what? Lately, it ain't been happening. But, I mean, it does help just seeing it. Or at least for me, I feel like it has helped. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm creating a bedtime ritual and also trying to wake up the same time every morning. When I start using that that bedtime like app thing, I wanted to get up at 4:30 so I can go to the gym. And when I start getting up at that time, like I was able to get up that time every day. But since I haven't been going to sleep that early, it ain't been happening. So.
Oh, okay, Britt the bully.
So, yeah.
Laugh again.
Britt the bully.
Okay, so how, I'm going to ask y'all, how many hours of sleep do y'all think y'all get? And do you feel like you're getting enough sleep? Or, like, when you're not getting enough sleep, do you notice a difference, like, in your skin and the way that you look?
Why are you looking at me?
Don't answer, Aisha. We know. No, I do. I get at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep, if not more, depending on some nights.
What the hell was that?
Water bottle.
Bruh, water bottle.
Wow. I feel obviously well rested when I get that amount of sleep. I know that if I get anything less than that, I'm no good for nobody. So I do definitely try to get at least 7 hours of sleep. And I do feel that I've never had, because I know you mentioned with your skin and things like that. I'm not bragging, but I've never had issues with my skin, so I can't say that I noticed a difference. I didn't want it to come off like that. That's why I said that. Like, anyways, but no, I have never really experienced those kind of issues as far as like skin. But yeah, I know that it just helps me function better when I get at least that amount. So
you do have really nice skin. Like I've been look. I don't think I ever really known it.
Thanks, guys.
Maybe I think she usually has on makeup when she comes.
Fresh
face tonight.
I don't wear makeup like that.
Well, the last few.
You
know, just the other day you had some lipstick on.
Oh,
when? She lying.
You wear makeup.
I know. I wear it every now and then, but I very rarely wear it though. Yeah. Look, Aisha trying to call me out. She's trying to say I ain't natural. I ain't got natural beauty, y'all.
She's like Alicia Keys. She got that blush.
You better quit.
She did put her eyebrows.
These eyebrows fleeking. Y'all, these eyebrows look good. She got this natural. I got them things done because they was looking kind of hot.
Did you highlight your freckles or no?
Oh, she got this natural blush. She got this little red rose. I'm probably blushing now because y'all getting on my damn nerves.
Okay, sorry. Ugly. Keep talking.
I'm done.
Aisha don't get enough sleep.
No, she don't.
Let me take that back. I feel like I sleep a lot when I'm off, but when I have to go to work, now that I work during the day, I probably go to bed at like 11:30. Got to be up at 5:30, you know. But I'll be good for the day. Mm-hmm. You know how hard I sleep, girl? Hard.
That's only 6 hours.
It's
some people function
quality.
On 6 hours.
Show do. Yeah. I'm up ready to go.
I heard
go.
A lot of people that can't function on
when
6 hours.
When I say I sleep hard, baby, I sleep hard. So.
What you get, Bria?
Yeah.
It depends on the night, honestly. It fluctuates, but I try to get like 7, 8.
Because Bria be going out. Don't let her fool you. That's the
not
only
during
thing
the week, not on a school night.
Be like Jen in the other episode. Is it Thursday?
I know.
She be out. Okay, y'all know I don't get no sleep. And yes, I see a difference. I be having them bags. They be bad. Like, I be like, did I forget to put, I gotta put concealer. Okay.
But bad. When I get too much sleep, I can't function. Like, it's weird. I only can get like 7, 8, mm-hmm. or it's, I can't get up.
Right. Like, do you, sorry, Aisha, so when you,
I just have a little quick question.
Okay. So when you're not getting, enough sleep, is it because, like, you can't sleep or you're just up, like, doing things? Or is it a mixture of both?
Bruh, it'd be a mixture of both.
Okay.
First of all, when I get off work, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I don't deny myself naps. So I'll take a nap at 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not every night, and that's not all the time, and the reason why I don't...
Because I feel like you're always up. Like, I'm like...
Right. I was touching the chat like 4 a.m., like, about to go work out. You should be like, oh, hey, just going to bed.
Why?
Why
are you taking that at 8?
Because sometimes if I know I have a whole bunch of stuff to do, like I have to do that night, I'll just go ahead and close my eyes because my eyes hurt. And I get up and I just keep working.
Well, just don't get back up. Aisha sleep like a college student.
I really do. I think I never get off my college schedule, real life. And I just function. I get some coffee. I went to Zumba yesterday and I had about 4 hours of sleep the night before. I was doing it 5 o'clock, 5 to 6.
Like, I can do that for so many days, but it comes a point where I'm just like, I can't take anymore.
Oh yeah, I'll crash eventually.
I'm gonna take a weekend.
Yeah, I'll probably do that for a week. You know, like the weekend. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, that wraps up the stress beauty prescription. I don't think
she's ready. Oh, well, thank you, Jen. You know, you're calling us all out, telling us we need some more sleep. So definitely do that. And if you do need some skincare regimen ideas for your tired skin, you can definitely check out the Strength of She blog, because Tyra and Jen have blogs that are up talking tired about skin. Skincare regimen. So
tired skin.
So those are up there. Okay, next we are going to Brittany.
Okay, today with Healthy Sisters, we do have a segment today, and it is on healthy. Tyra, you a jackass. Why she trying to play me? We do. I did not have one today. Okay, so we are going to talk about healthy weight loss and what that basically means. And I do also want to go over just some healthy tips to help with a successful weight loss. So basically, the first thing, what is considered healthy weight loss? So generally, anything between 0.5 pound and 2 pounds per week is considered healthy weight loss. One thing to kind of keep in mind with losing weight and kind of trying to do it at a faster pace, you do want to keep in mind that if you burn 500 more calories than you eat every day for a week, then you would lose about 1 to 2 pounds. So if you count your calories, then that's something that you can pretty much keep a pretty good gauge on. And also, if you, for example, if you do take in between 1,050 calories to between that and 1,200 calories a day, and you exercise for 1 hour per day, which would be about 300 minutes a week, then you could lose about 3 to 5 pounds in the first week. And that is really dependent on how much you weigh too, because if you do weigh more, something to keep in mind, if you weigh more than 250 pounds or so, then you can lose weight quicker than someone that's trying to lose weight and they weigh like 180 pounds or something like that. So keep that in mind too. I would say definitely keep in mind that if you weigh more, you can lose more quicker within the first few weeks. But if you weigh less, it just might not come off as fast, but it's still considered healthy weight loss. So don't get discouraged from that. And also, another tip that I wanted to kind of get into is specifically with your nutrition when it comes to weight loss. A lot of things that people don't really I feel like when a lot of people talk about weight loss, they really want to aim for eliminating like sugars and starches and carbohydrates and things like that. But in reality, you definitely still need carbs, just because you need energy. That your carbohydrates provide you with energy, and there are healthy carbs. So I don't know, I do kind of feel some kind of way when people say I want to eliminate carbs, and I'm thinking in my head like, okay, but you really need them. But we don't go there. So it's just a way, like there are healthy carbs that you can take in. So a couple of tips for that, eating vegetables to help you feel full is definitely something that you can implement. And another thing is obviously drinking plenty of water, getting tempting foods out of your home. Of course, if you just get rid of those chips and sweets and cookies and all of that, then you're 10 times more likely not to even eat it. When things are just sitting around in your house and you're bored and you're hungry, you're going to more than likely go for it. So try to get rid of those. Also, stay busy. You don't want to eat just because you're bored. And I know I do that a lot at work because I have a sedentary job. So I sit at my desk all day. So I'm sitting at my desk taking calls, I'm sitting thinking like, dang, I'm hungry. Just because I'm sitting here and not doing anything, you know, it just kind of comes to your mind. So try to stay busy as possible. Also, eat only from a plate when you're sitting at a table. Like, don't go gazing in the front of the fridge and kind of going in and out of, you know, try to figure out like, oh, what's in here? I know I've done that plenty of times. Like, just open the refrigerator just to open it. Like, what am I in here for? I mean, it's just silly. But and then another thing, obviously, do not skip meals. I cannot emphasize this enough. Like, people who tell me that they want to lose weight and tell me they only eat like 2 times a day, I'm like, you're not going to lose anything. Like, there's no way you're going to lose what you're trying to lose when you don't eat enough meals a day. So keep that in mind, too. One thing I do want to also talk about is being accountable. So being accountable with your diet is really, really hard. I mean, being disciplined, period, with your nutrition is difficult. So a couple of things that I usually try to bring up, something really old fashioned, keeping a food journal. Like, if you like writing stuff down or something like that, because I mean, it's just easy when you write it down. I feel like you keep yourself accountable because you see what you're writing. And that's definitely a good thing to try to do. One thing I always also try to suggest is also like keeping in mind with like a food journal or something like that. I know that people use a lot of apps these days too, mm-hmm. like MyFitnessPal or Lose It or things like that. Like, I do think that those applications are helpful to a certain extent, because I know that when you put in your weight and things like that, it kind of tells you how many calories you're supposed to consume a day and that kind of thing. But I feel like when a lot of people try to keep track of their calories, I think they feel like they need to consume a way less of an amount of calories in order to lose weight. And you can't really do that, because if you're not getting enough nutrients throughout the day, you will probably lose fat, but you're going to lose muscle too. And you don't want to do that. So that is really hard to kind of gauge, because I know a lot of people are usually like, well, how many calories should I eat? And it's really dependent on the person. Like, there's no set amount of calories you should try to eat to try to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So that's also something to keep in mind. And then the other point that the last point that I really wanted to make was really exercising, obviously, along with nutrition and dieting. So with losing weight with exercise, you definitely should incorporate cardio and strength training. Cardio does burn the most calories, obviously, so that is definitely ideal for fast weight loss, but you should still include some type of strength training. Even if it's just a few hours a week, or even if it's just for an hour or two, you should still do that, because in order to burn the most fat, you want to try to break a sweat the entire time that you're working out. So if you're working out for an hour, you'd say you do a warm-up for about 15 minutes or so, like on the elliptical or treadmill, you definitely want to keep sweating, because that's the best way to burn the most fat. So, and obviously when you do strength training, you burn fat after you're done with, you burn calories after you do your strength training sessions. That's why I personally like it more than cardio, because you continue to burn calories after you do strength training. Make sure that you pace yourself. Don't be doing too much now. I mean, I know that you're supposed to do a lot of cardio to try to lose, you know, the most weight and things like that, but don't do too much. I mean, you know, just pace yourself, you know. And another thing that's good is interval training. I feel like I kind of went into that briefly in another segment I had before, but interval training is just like really high intensity exercise and doing it for short bouts of time. And honestly, you burn more calories that way. Something like HIIT, I know Aisha mentioned that before. That's definitely an interval training program that you could look into too. But there are a lot of different ones out there. I mean, you can make up your own. I mean, interval training is pretty easy. That was pretty much it. So I definitely just wanted to keep that in mind. I know, you know, weight loss is something that a lot of us are working on and want to do. And I know, I just feel like it's a lifelong process. But I just think knowing those tips and kind of moving forward, because, you know, healthy weight loss does include exercise and diet. And I try to stay away from the word diet. It really is just because it's lifestyle change. Thank you, Jenny. Because diet, I feel like, strays people away. And they're like, I don't want to diet. And that's not really what it is. I mean, it's just, I try to say nutrition, like change your nutritional habits. Because, like you said, it's something that you want to work toward that's lifelong. Because most diets are short term. I mean, if you kind of look at it as, oh, I'm on this diet. And a lot of the times when you do that, you're only going to be on it for a couple months or something like that. So you're right. If that. So, keep that in mind with your nutritional habits. That has to be a lifelong change and long-term change in order for it to be successful weight loss and for you to maintain it and keep it off. But yeah, that's all I got.
Good stuff.
Thanks. You know, summer 17 is coming up.
Yeah, gotta. I know. I'm trying to help y'all out now because I know
summer is always coming up, and I'm still
and I'm still hot mess. I'm so glad I started my training next week, y'all. I'm about to be fine as one. Hey, just letting y'all know. I'm just letting y'all know. Y'all ain't gonna be able to tell me shit, but I'm still gonna be high waisted shawty though. Aisha.
I'm gonna be high waisted shawty.
I'm still gonna be high waisted shawty, but I'm gonna be cute.
You know, my booty poking a little bit more.
Now, right.
So that's all good, but I'm gonna be high waisted shawty.
I'm right there with you. Tyra gonna be high waisted shawty too while she's playing.
I know I ain't.
And she's gonna be high waisted shawty too.
Sure, even though I love high waist, but
I know I do. I just love
you
it.
You won't catch it's me just in cute. One. Nope. I'm gonna be in a two piece.
She
I'll be in a cute high waisted two piece.
No, they have super cute ones. I just don't want. That's my goal.
No, I feel you.
Not to no, be in a high waisted. I feel that. You know what I'm saying?
I got Tiger Stripes, so they got to be covered up.
Oh good lord.
Sorry.
I don't think I'm not gonna get there that fast. It's okay. You know, I was shopping for my trip. Birthday trip, and I had to come to the realization that yes, girl, you're not at that weight that you want to be at by this trip, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You just need to be comfortable in who you are
right now.
Buy clothes for who you are right now.
I know that's right.
You're gonna freaking chuck it. Like you're still gonna be cute.
Yep.
Your hair's still gonna be cute, and just keep moving.
And you got a man.
Boom.
A whole husband.
Say it again.
A whole husband.
But you know, you got to keep it right for him too.
Right.
You know what? I want to mention something about that. So,
somebody told me that they have, okay, so they're in a relationship with somebody, and they told me, I mean, it wasn't just me. We were talking in a group of people, with a group of people, and she was saying that, oh, you know, I ain't got to, you know, wear this or look a certain way because I already got a man. And I was just like,
Gotta keep them.
You gotta keep right. You gotta keep them.
That's what I'm saying. See, people try to let themselves go when they get in a relationship, and it's like that is not what you're supposed to do.
No, and I think that people think, oh well, then he don't love me for me.
Right? No,
that's not the you that you was when y'all got together. Exactly. Like you turning into two yous, and for some people, that's a problem.
Yep.
I mean, I'm speaking from experience. Shit, when I gained weight. I noticed he was looking at some skinny heifers, and I was like, what's going on, bro? And I was like, what's going on, bro? And we had to have a conversation. And at that time, you know how you gain weight and you don't notice you gain weight?
Right.
See, I was in that stage. I didn't know why I gained weight. But when I got on that scale, I was like, oh. I was like, well, shit, that's why you looking at them. Well, I was looking at them, too.
Well, damn.
That's okay. So you just have to. Tyra, you just can't. You can't let yourself go. Mm-hmm. I mean, I truly believe in that. Even when you're married, you can't let yourself
you
go.
Can.
I wouldn't want him to let himself go.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you won't change along the way. You're going to change. Your body's going to go through changes that you can't
But that
control.
Don't mean gain 50 pounds.
That don't mean go sit down. Eat a buffet every day because you got a man.
Sit your ass down.
And go
it's
to
like
the
you
gym.
Wanna, you want to do it for him, but you also just want
right.
to
do it for yourself. Yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to be confident in who I am around him.
Right.
Confident, naked, you know, that's all our goals.
Yeah. It'll be mine once
I'm working tired nerves tonight,
I'm not
y'all.
Saying anything. I'm just reflecting on my own personal situation. So,
you know. But yeah, you gotta do it for both of y'all. Just the same.
So, thanks, Brittany. Thanks, Jen, for that follow-up question. So, now we're gonna head into the Woosa segment. So let's go ahead and center our energy and clear our minds and prepare ourselves for this wonderful food for our spirits. So my topic this week is very quick. It's very short. It's very to the point. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Okay, wonderful. So what I would like to advise as my wellness segment for this week is to learn how to slow down. I have to tell myself this all the time, probably every day. I could probably think of something new to do every day. That's not even a joke. A new thing for myself, a new thing for me and Nick's company, like a new thing for everything. I can think of something every day. So I honestly have to tell myself to slow down on a regular. And like this week, for example, I'm revamping my personal website. I'm finishing designing me and Nick's photography website. And my goal was to have it done by today. Are those websites out today? No. And you know what? I had to be okay with that. Like, we can set goals for ourselves and not reach them in the time that we wanted to reach them. And that's perfectly okay. That doesn't mean that you're a failure. That doesn't mean that it won't happen. It just means that other things came up and you just have to pace yourself. Like, because if I was trying to get that out today or tomorrow, I'd break my neck. I'd not go to sleep. When we talk about this, I'd be walking around with rough skin tomorrow wondering why. And it's because I didn't sleep all week trying to get these websites out. Yeah.
She is struggling.
Had them black bags, I would have been breaking that concealer out. So it's okay. So I'm gonna release those sites when they're finished. When will they be finished? I don't know, but I'm going to work on it. So I have a few things that kind of help me slow down. One thing is keeping a calendar or a planner. I didn't have a planner for the first 4 months of the year. I was real behind in planning for 2017. And I've had a lot of things come up and come and go and deadlines I missed. And I said, you know, let me get my life together. Because that's a part of it. When you aren't planning, when you aren't keeping up with your to-dos, you know, that makes you get in this whole rushed temperament because it's like, oh, I got to get this done or I got to finish this. And it's because you didn't plan properly. So make sure you're keeping up with your plan. Also, don't overbook yourself. If you got a lot of stuff going on that week, you know, try to prioritize those things, figure out what's on the bottom of the list, and figure out if it could go on a different day, if you could do it on a different day or whatever it might be. So try not to overbook yourself. Also, learn how to say no to things. I know that that's constantly a thing that's on a lot of our list, is saying no and understanding the importance of that, because you don't like to let people down. And that whole kind of thing, or, you know, whatever it might be. But it's really important to learn how to say no. And that comes with the prioritizing things, not overbooking. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have other things to do. Maybe next time. Also, give yourself time for self-care and for time for yourself. A lot of people think that when you're in a relationship or you're married that you still don't need alone time. You do. Even if it's just for a walk around the neighborhood, even if I'm going to the room, I'm closing the door, please don't bother me for 30 minutes. You know, and it's not in the mean way. It's just having that own, you're having your own alone time. Like Jen said, creating a nighttime routine, doing those things that are making sure that you're in tune with yourself, and going about. So anyone else have any other tips on how you can slow down or how you've slowed down in the past?
I say no a lot. Probably more than I say yes.
You do say no a lot. That's good, though.
I do.
But it's good.
I do.
Because some people don't know how to say no. That's good.
So, yeah.
Well, good.
Saying no. Mm-hmm. I'm good for it.
Nope. But see, Bri would be like, no, nah, because I'm going out.
Why you swear I'm always going out?
Every time, if you follow Bria on Snapchat, she always out.
Of course you just don't post on Snap unless you're doing something. You want to see me on my couch?
They see me on
y'all,
my couch.
Y'all see my dog a lot. Don't even try to play.
They see me on my couch and with BJ. That's okay. Okay, Bria. Bria says no to anyone else. Different tip or same tip?
I'm trying to think of what else you said.
Because you're here with this long pause.
I love. Because I was about to say some smart shit. I was about to say, see, this is what happens at the woo-sah segment. I tell them the woo-sah, and then they all
then
shut the
sleep.
Hell up.
We over here sleep. We're meditating on our
they're
answers.
They're meditating, and then they're done. Okay, well, wonderful. Well, I hope that those tips have helped you. And hopefully you can start implementing some of those into your life to slow down, especially with, you know, the fast season coming up, the hot season. You're going to want to do a lot of things, be out. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But you got to prioritize your fun and your need to do's and your self-care. So get it together, sister friend. So next, we do have a Dear Sister Friend letter. So let's dive into that.
Yes, we have a dear sister friend letter, and it's a pretty good one. It's kind of long, so kind of bear with me here. Uh-oh. It's good though. It has quite a bit of detail, so it's good. Okay, so it starts off, dear sister friend, I didn't think I would find myself writing to this address, but I need some clarity and some advice. A guy that I have been dating for quite some time now requested time and space. This was after a conversation that we had on whether or not we were right for each other. He told me that I was his only focus and that he never wanted me to feel like I was competing with other women. However, after seeing dating app notifications on his phone, I calmly asked him if I was his only focus. What? I wasn't being accusatory. I just simply wanted to know because it had been plaguing my mind for a while. He felt that I was pushing him away. Our last meeting was quite emotional, tears on both sides. I asked him how much time he would need, and he said he would contact me. I haven't heard anything from him in 4 days. I've been fighting the urge to reach out because I want to be respectful of his request. All of this, it does hurt very much. In this scenario, I don't know what time means because it's very vague, but I do have a feeling that it's over and I don't know how to handle it. I noticed a couple social media posts that seemed to be aimed at our situation, which were also hurtful. He hasn't come out and said that he never wants to see me again. I don't know what to do because I've never been in this situation before. Help.
Who wants to go first? We got a lot of up.
I think almost everybody. I think everybody has something to say.
Ooh, this is different. I feel you, girl.
Yeah.
See, okay. Whenever you get advice from me, most of the time it's gonna be very black and white, and that's just from life, though. Yeah. I've been in a lot of gray area situations, and now I'm at a point where I try to make things as concrete and discreet as possible. Because you just got to protect your energy. And I just feel like this is one of those situations where, sister friend, I think it is best that you move on. I really do. And I say that because I don't believe in breaks. Mm-hmm. Breaks mean break up to me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's very contradictory for him to say that you're his only focus, but you see dating apps on his phone. So it sounds like he may want to just, you know, mingle a little bit, but not really be connected to anybody. So I think it is best, like I said, for you to move on. There's a couple red flags here, and I feel like it says a lot about his character that he can't be upfront with you and tell you that y'all should just end it or whatever the case may be, but he's leaving it open-ended, and that's not fair to you because your feelings right now, you're going to be very vulnerable, and you're going to, like, I'm pretty sure you hear what he's saying, but you're interpreting it in your own way. You are making it open-ended. And I feel like you probably deserve better than that because you're listening and you're awesome. And I feel like you deserve somebody who will be upfront with you and who will be straight with you. Because if he wants to talk to other people or whatever the case may be, he needs to just be honest about that. There's nothing wrong with that if y'all are not necessarily committed. But if he's not being honest about that, what else is he not being honest about? So you want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Tyra. Like, I don't believe in breaks either. I feel like if you're going to be on a break, you might as well just break up. Like, I think that you really need to think back to the conversation y'all had leading into that break and really think about what he said to you. Because guys, you know, they tell us exactly what we're trying to figure out all the time. Mm-hmm. But because our emotions are into it and all that kind of stuff, like, we're not really listening and not really thinking. All we hear is, oh, we're on the break, so that means that we're going to be back together.
Right.
That's
right.
not always what that means. So, you know, I personally will move on. I will go ahead, you know, if you're the type of person that needs that closure, like we've talked about before, go ahead, make your little phone call. Have the conversation. If you want to confront him about what you know, if you haven't talked to him about that before, go ahead and confront that situation just so you can have that resolve so he can say, you know, yeah, I am talking to other people, or he can lie, you know, whatever. But I think that, like Tara said, you're awesome, and I would not waste, you know, any of me on someone who isn't here for it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always a firm believer that if a man wants you, he's going to let you know. And I think that if he is okay with, you know, going 4 days without talking to you, knowing that you all had that conversation and things are kind of left in the air, and knowing that you may be wondering, like, what's happening, what are you all doing, and he's not, you know, communicating with you, then, I mean, he probably doesn't care that much. Mm-hmm. And so just like Tyra and Aisha said, I mean, if he's not, you know, coming to you, or if you need that closure, make the phone call and then kind of just move on.
Yeah.
Ball is in your court.
Ball is in your court. Yes. Don't wait on him. Mm-mm. Don't sit around waiting on him a whole nother 4 days.
Your ass.
Bria. Now, we talked about her and her second and third and fourth chances. Don't give.
Right. Don't do that. Don't be that girl.
Not in a relationship.
Don't do that.
If you my man, you better be coming.
Let me tell you something. Don't let this be your second love.
Please
don't.
Please, Lord.
Then you got a third one coming, girl.
Exactly. Yes. So you might want to wrap this up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand the whole thing about time and space. That just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I agree with what everyone else said. If you feel like you need to, I mean, if you feel like you really, if you are literally discussing a break, I feel like you said, you might as well just break up. I feel like that's where you really need to sit and think, because the fact that y'all discussed that, y'all were having, you know, giving each other time and space or whatever, and he hasn't even contacted you or at least attempted to make any kind of conversation, and you're seeing stuff that he's saying on social media, I feel like that kind of shows and tells you where he's at.
Oh, yes.
So I think that you definitely should move on, sister friend.
Because you writing us and he thinking that was just 4 days ago.
Right.
Oh, what is real life.
I am
triggered.
It's like, I mean, I was going to hit you up eventually. But, like, that's...
I'm triggered for real because
you are, but you on social media, so my lady is like, yeah, you know, I see you, what you putting on here. That's being funny.
He don't care
just I'm ruthless.
We've been there, girl.
Yes. I'm telling you, y'all been there with another
that petty letter. Shit, yeah. We've been there.
Please just write us back and let us know what you did, girl.
Yes, please, let us know the outcome.
If you need advice on what to say, you know, email us back, because
we get your little script.
We won't put it on the air, but we will help you, because you really need to empower yourself by
over here, Ayamba.
No, like, for real.
Fix my life.
No, for real, because I have been there, and I just do not be wanting to see my sister friends go through a whole bunch of shit that I went through, because I've been through so much. So with that being said, if there's opportunity for me to help somebody, I'm gonna help them. So
I know that's right. Same here.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes.
It was. Well, how can they send more sister friend letters, Brittany?
Yes. So please send those sister friend letters in. Our email is dearsisterfriend@thestrengthofshe.com. Okay. So yes, please send those in. I just want to get a flow of letters. Like, come on, I know y'all love us answering these questions for y'all, so can y'all just not be shy? Again, it is anonymous. We're not going to announce your name or anything, you know, and it doesn't have to be relationships. It can be about anything, career wise mm-hmm. friendships, you know, whatever. So please don't hesitate. We want those letters, ladies.
Cool. Well, thank you, Brittany, and thank you, Sister Fran, for sending that letter in. Quickly, she announcements. What we got? 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 We're going to turn up.
We got an announcement.
Yes,
announcement.
I was trying to go back to the P. Diddy days, you know.
Special delivery.
Need that. That was before. That was not before your time, bro.
Please stop it.
You're like a year younger than me. Anyways. Anyways, we have an event coming up that is specifically for our sister friends. Yes, you that is listening right now. We are having a sister friend sip. We had one last year. It was the bomb. But this one is going to be even better. So we are making this a quarterly event, specifically for our sister friends who really asked for this event in the first place. Like I said, we have a sister friend Facebook group that has like, I think like 900 women in it now. So this is an opportunity for all of us who are connected to the Strength of She and your friends to come together and have fun together. So this sister friend said we will have a theme every time, and this theme is empower. So we will talk about topics and have conversations that are related to how we're empowered as women, how we need to be empowered more, and a lot of more things. But of course, it wouldn't be a she event if, you know, we didn't have some food to snack on and some drinks to sip.
Drinks, yes. Mm-hmm.
So you definitely want to be there. It will be Saturday, May 6th from 11 to 1. Yes, it's early. And yes, it's only 2 hours. And yes, you need to be on time. So be there at 11 or you will miss out on some fun because we are starting promptly. So come early or like I said, come at 11. Tickets right now are only $20. So we have tickets for $20. That's it. It includes your food, your drink, your, you know, your mingling time. So definitely come and join us. You can find the links on our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook event that's up. It's on our Eventbrite account. You can also find it more easily at thestrengthofshe.com/events. So hopefully we will see you all there. We love to meet the people that we have connected, you know, the women that we have connected with through the Strength of She. So we hope that you will come and bring your other sister friends. That's all I got. So now Jen is going to go ahead and wrap us on up.
Okay, so for this week's Sheetspiration, I want to tell you all, we are typically our biggest critics. Don't be. I know I naturally overthink things and I sometimes get lost in my thoughts. So don't allow your thoughts to talk you out of doing something. When you put your energy into negative thoughts, you will begin to feel negative. So no one, just remember that no one's going to look out for you the way you look out for you. So you owe it to yourself to be your own shero.
Nice. Well, thank you, Jen. Thank you, ladies, for coming and recording this awesome episode. And thank you all for listening to us. Again, be sure to comment, share, all of that wonderful goodness. And we'll see you here next time, same time.